Our scripture readings this morning, our first scripture reading will come from the book of Philippians. Be reading from chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, starting with verse 17 and reading through chapter 4, verse 1. It begins on page 1024 of your pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and mark those who so live as you have an example in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Our gospel reading will come from the 13th chapter of Luke's gospel. We'll begin with verse 31 and read through verse 35. It is found on page 907 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm sure that we have all grieved for someone at some point or another in our lives. Not just the grief that we experience when someone that we love dies, but the grief we experience when someone we love and care for is on the wrong path. Maybe some of you who are parents know what I'm talking about. I remember talking to a parent once who was grieving over a daughter because it seemed like this young woman was on the wrong path. All the other children seemed to be doing fine, but this one daughter who had so much potential, so much talent, but seemed to have gotten caught up with the wrong kind of people, the wrong kind of lifestyle, and was just beset on the wrong path. And it just grieved her mother and her father, who did everything that they could to get this young lady turned around. But every effort, every sacrifice was rebuffed because It just appeared that this young woman was determined to go down the wrong path. Occasionally, I'll have the radio on in my car so that I could keep a pulse on popular culture, just to find out what's going on out there among youth culture. Some of you with children and grandchildren don't have to worry about that. You're connected, going to be connected to youth culture, whether you want to or not, for good or for ill. But occasionally I'll try to keep the radio on or something, turn to a popular radio station, just to find out what's going on. And every once in a while, I am grieved just a bit in my spirit, grieved for what our children are being subjected to, and grieved for what is popular, because it just seems to be indicative of the fact that they are on the wrong path. It's not just our young people who are on the wrong path. Of course, anytime you turn on the news and see what's going on in our nation at large, what's going on in the precincts of power and privilege, what's going on in Washington, D.C., everyone, everything seems to be going the wrong way, going the wrong path, following the wrong road. And that's true sometimes in the church as well. The Apostle Paul, of course, didn't have any children. He didn't have a radio to turn on or any social media, but Paul had churches that he loved and cared for very much. Paul helped to found a number of Christian communities. Some of them were the source of considerable joy for Paul, and others were churches that gave him a little bit of concern. In fact, Paul often grieved over the fact that some of the churches that he had helped to found easily went the wrong way, went down the wrong path. For some, it was the path of self-indulgence. It obviously grieved Paul very much. Paul writes about it in various letters, but he was often grieved in his spirit about what happened to some of the people that he had helped to guide, that he had helped to nurture, that he had helped to bring up in the faith, but they just went the wrong way. And Paul himself says here, writing to the Philippians, that oftentimes their God is their belly and their glory is their shame. Perhaps that sounds familiar. It sounds a lot like many people today. Have you ever noticed that there are certain behaviors out there that people engage in that they are not ashamed? In fact, not only are they ashamed of the behaviors that they engage in, but they often celebrate those same behaviors. There used to be something called the seven deadly sins: envy, lust, pride, greed, gluttony, anger, sloth. Used to be the Christians were ashamed to be associated with these kinds of behaviors, ashamed to even be associated with people who engaged in these kinds of behaviors. But it seems nowadays that we lift them up, that they are celebrated, and the people who engage in them are celebrated. But it's the result, I think, of going down the wrong path. Paul calls such people enemies of the cross because they are diametrically opposed to the way of the cross, diametrically opposed to the way that Jesus has called us to walk. because they're going down the wrong path. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus, of course, is on the right path. He is on his way to Jerusalem, taking his Kingdom of God movement on the way to Jerusalem, his movement of healing, of liberating, of forgiving people. He has been pretty much confined to the region of Galilee, but now he has set his face towards Jerusalem. And his ministry has made him some powerful enemies. It seems like oftentimes when you're engaged in doing humanitarian things, it creates enemies. And he has created some enemies, and so some religious leaders come to him and they say, "You need to get out of here. You need to get out of here because Herod wants to kill you." Perhaps that sounds a bit familiar today as well. People with murder in their hearts. But it's interesting that Jesus doesn't get too riled up about that. He's not disturbed about that at all. He doesn't grieve about his own personal safety because he has already chosen the path he will take. And that is the path of truth, the path of sacrifice, the path of vulnerability, the path of the cross, which is the path of God. We often think about God in terms of power. But the way that Jesus shows us is the way of the cross. And he invites people to follow him as he moves along that way, the way of vulnerability and self-giving love. And so Jesus doesn't grieve for himself. Instead, he grieves for Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the holy city. Jerusalem, the city of David. Jerusalem that was supposed to be the light of the world. Jesus grieves over Jerusalem because Jesus sees that they're going down the wrong road. They're going down the wrong path. And so he cries, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, how I long to gather you under my wings like a mother hen. Oh, how I long to protect you, how I long to gather you together under my wings." That imagery is interesting too. Often we think of God as the lion, a mighty lion of Judah going about roaring, or we think of God as a mighty eagle. But here Jesus likens himself to a hen, to a mother hen who longs and desires to take up her brood under her wings. But the problem is that Jerusalem will have none of it. She is determined to go down the wrong path. I'm not judging anyone here because I know how easy it is to go down the wrong path. How easy it is sometimes to mistake God's ways or our ways for God's ways. And it's interesting that Jerusalem, the people of God, the people who were called by God to be the light of the world, the people who were called by God to be the people who would initiate the healing of the world, these are the people who have lost their way. And it grieves Jesus' heart. Of course, Jesus can see the path that Jerusalem will take. It is the path of violence. That's what Jesus can see so clearly. In the story before this, Jesus and his disciples are approached by people who come and say, "Jesus, haven't you heard? Did you hear what Pilate did to people who were worshiping in the temple, how he mingled their blood as they were there worshiping in the temple?" And Jesus says, "Yes, but the same thing is going to happen to you too unless you repent, unless you turn around." And of course, Jesus was referring to what would happen in the future to Jerusalem, the holy city. They would be destroyed because they chose the way of violence. Like many of you, I was disturbed and grieved by events coming out of New Zealand early Friday morning. A gunman took a semi-automatic assault rifle and indiscriminately gunned down 49 people simply because of their religious faith. It's only one of a number of incidents that occur around the world where people kill others because they are different, but especially because of their religious faith. Particularly disturbing to me was the fact that it was done in a mosque, a sacred space, at least to some people, while they were worshiping. It seems to be the trend these days to kill people while they are worshiping, while they are in a sacred space. That's what happened in Charleston. The killer walked into a church doing Bible study and indiscriminately started shooting, and 9 people were dead. That's what happened in Pittsburgh. The killer walked into a synagogue and started shooting, and 11 people were dead. And that's what happened in New Zealand. The killer walked into a mosque while people were praying and took out a gun and indiscriminately gunned people down. Children, women, older people, it didn't matter because they were Muslim. Equally disturbing to me was the name of the city where the killing took place. Christ Church. That was the first thing I heard in the news early in the morning. There have been 49 people who were killed in Christ Church, and I thought, what in the world is going on? I had to turn it up. But that was the name of the place, Christ Church, the city. Think of the symbolism that projects. People who had come from all over the world, some of them escaping violence in their home countries, came to a place where they thought that they had sanctuary, a place called Christ Church, only to be indiscriminately gunned down. I'm sure it was the symbolism of that, the symbolism of Muslims being in a place called Christ Church that prompted the killer to take action. Muslims in a place like this, a mosque in a place like this. And so he gets his gun and he shoots. And Jesus grieves. Jesus grieves for the 49 people who were killed, no doubt. But Jesus also grieves for all of those who put violence at the center of their hearts. For all of those who have journeyed down the path of violence and racism and sinphobia and religious bigotry, Jesus grieves because they are on the wrong path. Lent is the season when we talk about repentance. It is the season when we are asked to think about what it means to turn ourselves around and get on the right track. To turn ourselves around and follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ along the way not of power but of love, the way of sacrifice, the way of vulnerability, the way of the cross. One of the things that helps us during this season is to remember who we are. And so since so much today, a lot of the tension that we find in our world today centers around things like citizenship and identity and religion and a sense of belonging. It helps us to remember who we are. Paul reminds us that we are citizens of heaven. And when he says that we are citizens of heaven, he's not necessarily talking about where we're going, but he's talking about where we are from. We are citizens of heaven. We are from heaven. Those are the values that ought to animate us. The values of love, the values of wanting to be reconciled, the values of being vulnerable for the sake and the healing of the world. Those are the values that ought to guide us and direct us. Easy to get caught up in our own identities as citizens of a particular nationality, or people of a particular race, even people of a particular religion. But to be a citizen of heaven is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and look where Jesus is taking us. He's not taking us to the ways of power. He's not taking us to the ways of defeating our enemies. He's not taking us to the way where we can assure that we will have all the good things while everyone else has nothing. He's not taking us along that road at all. The road he is inviting us to walk down again is the road of vulnerability, the road of truth, the road of suffering, and the road of self-giving love. And if we don't want to walk down that road, then we ourselves become the source of grieving the heart of God, because it's the road that leads to the cross, which is the only road of healing. As we continue our own journey through Lent, we'll continue to be asked to think about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to die to ourselves, to let go of what we believe can bring us salvation, to let go of our prejudices, to let go of our fears, to let go of our bigotry, to let go of our hatred, and to follow the way of the cross. Because that's the way of God. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, how easy it is for us to lose our way. We listen to others, to other voices, voices that are themselves pained and frightened, voices that so willingly believe that violence is the answer to problems, voices that point the finger to others and would blame all of our problems on them, voices that believe that salvation resides in having guns. Help us to repent. Help us to turn around. Help us to follow the one that you have sent us. Sent us to show us the way. Help us to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he takes us on the journey to the cross. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.